So you're six figures, but you want to move to seven figures? Well, you know what? I have Elizabeth Gould here for you, and she is going to drop some gems for you. She is a neuroscience expert, right? And she is here to really help you with this powerful conversation that we just had. She is dynamic. She's been endorsed by Tony Robbins. She's been invited by Randy Zuckerberg to join her Leadership Institute. Now, this woman has overcome so many tragic yet empowering things for her. It's absolutely amazing. Amazing when you have a human like this that's going to just grace us with her presence and her story and what she does. You're gonna love this conversation. Check this out. What's up, party people? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I am really excited about our guest today. She is dynamic, and I love her energy. I love what she brings to the table. She is such a dynamic thought leader, and her name is Elizabeth Gould, and she's endorsed by Tony Robbins. She's been invited by Randy Zuckerberg to join her Leadership Institute. Now, Elizabeth, break. Oh, I'm sorry, groundbreaking, break ground. Listen to me. I'm trying to speak English. Groundbreaking book of Feeling Forward, right? I love the title. It shows you how to become the person who has the life you want. So it's by blending cutting-edge neuroscience and with personalized motivation strategies. Now, she's been featured on major media outlets like NBC and Fox and Sky News, and she hosts her own podcast, right? Exhausted to Empowered Entrepreneur, right? Because none of y'all are exhausted, right? Entrepreneurs, no way. And so I really love this about her, and I love what she brings to the table and her expertise. And so I want you to buckle up for a powerful conversation because I want to really bring you someone who will help you unlock your highest potential. Welcome, Miss Elizabeth Gould, to Straight Talk. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome, Nina, and it's a treat to be here with such a powerhouse as yourself.
Thank you. I'm excited to have this conversation. I mean, the first time we met, I loved your energy. I love what you're about. And so I want them to know you. I want them to really get to know you. So my first question is always, who are you? Because I love to hear where you take us. Who are you, Elizabeth? Take us there.
Who am I? Well, I really started out being a first-generation Australian of a migrant family, not a great deal of money. And I had a dream, Nina. I dreamt I was going to be the next Agatha Christie. I was going to write all these books. I was going to be world famous. And I wrote a lot of books, but no one wanted to publish them. So I had a legal career instead and then a corporate career. And then I started building businesses all the time, writing about bodies in the library and all sorts of interesting things. But then I had aggressive breast cancer. And within 6 months, I couldn't, was too sick to work. I'd lost my business. Chances of survival weren't great. My marriage crumpled, and I had to put my two small children in a car and say, pick your favorite toy. We're going to live with your grandparents. And I had to rebuild from there. And so what that taught me was how to reinvent yourself when all signs of hope aren't really present. It doesn't really look all that hopeful. But all those years of writing books, murder mystery books that no one liked, turned into my first bestseller. I decided that no one was really writing about how cancer survivors thought and felt. So I wrote a book, Overnight Success in 8 countries, and that really set myself on a trajectory for how to reach your potential, how to overcome mindset blockages and beliefs and create the future you want, even if you can't see it quite yet.
You know, and wow, first of all, I had to breathe when you told me about your story. My sister-in-law just got cleared. She had stage 3 lung cancer, and she just got cleared just like a week or two ago. And we felt the same, right? Like is this the last? Like, what happens to her kids next? Like, all of that. That must have been such a heavy burden to carry, and then to also still fight, because you're fighting for your life as well. Like, there's so much, like, literally fighting for your life, right? I hope I never have to go through such a diagnosis, and I hope you never ever go through that again. Wanted to reach into that moment and say, do you feel that is a big catapult in your mind, in your mindset? Like, did you decide that moment that you were truly going to live life for real? Like, not passively, mm-hmm. not as a non-playing character, but like really live life. Did that do that to you?
That's a really beautiful question. But firstly, can you give your loved one a big hug from me?
I will. Absolutely. Because
that's a really tough, it's a tough journey. I said to a friend who was diagnosed with cancer, and they knew my story. So they reached out and they were very open. And I said, I will stand with you at the edge of the abyss and hold your hand. Mm. And we will look into the darkness together because that is the only way you get through. Oh, look, Nina, I've had a very colorful life. I really didn't intend it to happen this way, but before I was diagnosed with cancer, I survived a fatal car accident when I was 17 and watched someone die on the road in front of me, the driver of the other car, which was awful. And then about a year before I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I had a random psychopath break into my house, threaten to kill my children, and I defended them and got quite badly injured in the process. So when it came to being diagnosed...
Wait, hold on. Can we take a moment for the badass in the room? I just need to take a moment for the badass in the room. Hold on a second. There's not many times in my life that I meet a badass like yourself, Elizabeth. Holy shit. And I don't even curse that much on this show, but that deserves a holy shit. Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
Go ahead. Proceed.
No, look, it's funny because I tell my story and I don't share it with everyone because you are such a beautiful soul and a very astute interviewer, but I've always felt incredibly lucky. And the cancer was really tough because it came at a time when my marriage wasn't going so well. And I had that sinking feeling. My son was 2, my daughter was 4. And I thought, well, if you don't pull through, they're not going to remember you.
Yeah.
And that was one thing, but they wouldn't know how much I loved them.
Really
hurt. Right. So in some ways that's when the principles of feeling forward started, because I'd always been interested in science and how to create the life you want, and always devoured, when I was a child, just read autobiographies and biographies. I wanted to know the secret as to how you succeed even when circumstances are stacked against you. So I really propelled myself forward into not being a cancer patient, but being a cancer survivor. So I was just on a mission to survive for my children, for myself as well, but they were counting on me. And it's a beautiful full circle. But recently one of my children, I have 4 now because I have bonus children as well, but one of them was going through a really hard time and they said, I can't believe how much you've supported me. And I said, well, that's why I fought so hard. Because small children, small problems, big children, big problems. I fought to be here for this. This is my privilege. Wow. I'm so pleased I can be here for you.
That is so powerful and so beautiful. I didn't know I could fall more in love with you, woman. Okay. So I just think that's just such an amazing story, an amazing testament to resilience and life and circumstances, right? Because, you know, when I was younger, much younger, when I was going through tough times, I just remember I tried to unalive myself now, right? That's how we have to say it, unalive myself, when I was like, you know, 13, 14, whatever it was. And I'm so grateful to God that that never took place, that I never was able to accomplish it. And I think about all you have been through and, you know, the people now that have reached out to you to say, hey, I'm going through this and your book is touching that many people. I'm going to actually purchase your book for my family member as well, because I think it's beautiful when somebody has survived it, and she also, who's fought so hard and has survived it, right? And this is her third bout with a different type of cancer. Uh-huh. So it's like been one cancer after another. It was breast cancer, and then it was uterine cancer, and then now it's lung cancer. It's like, okay, like the woman needs a break, right? And she needs also inspiration. And so I'm so grateful to you for stepping out in that boldness and writing that book, because that is hard and also cathartic, I'm sure. I'm sure that was one of those experiences, you know, and thinking about the fact that you could be here for your adult children now. And that's just such a beautiful thing. And I know you talked about the neuroscience of it all, right? And so I want you to talk about what that is. Like, how do you align that cutting edge neuroscience with the personal motivation, right? I want the listeners who are listening, the people who are watching, to really tap into aligning and transforming their lives, both, you know, personally and professionally. So can you talk to us about that?
That's a great question. And I want to give a really accessible, true scientific story on that, because since I wrote Feeling Forwards, I qualified as a master neuroplastician, so I can bring that. Something I'd always been interested in, but qualified in that as well. But there was a scientific experiment I read in a book, and I blush to say the book was written in the 1970s, so I read this a long time ago, but it stuck in my head. And it's an experiment was run by the professor of psychology at Harvard. So I don't talk about wishing and hoping stories and butterflies and rainbows. I talk about science and facts and things that have actually happened. And what she did was she took a group of elderly men and she took them to a retro-themed hotel. They weren't allowed to take any belongings with them, no watch, no mirror, nothing. And they went into this hotel, just their clothes, obviously. They went into this hotel and the newspapers and the television and the food, everything in this hotel was from 25 years earlier. And they were told to speak as though, for example, I don't think it was the moon landing, but they had to watch a baseball World Series and talk about it like they didn't know the outcome. So they lived completely immersed in their imagination in the past. And they were only there for a week. But when they left, some men who arrived with walking sticks threw them away. And they had a battery of tests, physical tests on their hearing, sight, strength. All those men had gotten younger.
Wow.
So their aging had been reversed through the power of their imagination, because a little bit like I did the other way, feeling forwards, thought, well, I've already conquered cancer, so that's how I have to think and that's how I believe before it actually happened. They went back in the past and they thought and believed themselves younger. So your brain, the beautiful thing about your brain is it's not a self-improvement tool. Your brain will keep you in fear and lack, because that's keeping you safe in survival. But your brain doesn't know if something's happened or if you actually imagined it happening. So once you understand, and there's a knack to it, there's a process I use it by coaching, and is in the book as well. Once you understand this knack, you can actually behave as the person who has something before they have it. And just one other very accessible example is sport. So if you look at whether it's a Tom Brady, Serena Williams, any sport you like, any outstanding person, they've been behaving like a champion since they were about 12.
Yeah.
So they've been eating right, sleeping right, believing. And then once they become a champion, their life actually doesn't change. But when all the entrepreneurs and business leaders I coach, they always come around it from the other way. They say, and I say, well, what about, you know, your health, your finances, whatever? They go, no, Elizabeth, I don't need to worry about that. Once I've made my first 10 million, then I'll get a personal trainer. And then once I've sold a million widgets wherever, or my app's been downloaded or my tech platform, then I'll get my finances under control. And I say to them, well, A, if you think when you've got lots of money and you're really successful, you have more time in the day, you're quite
right.
Yeah. So and true. secondly, that's about as sensible as me running into a 16-year-old and them telling me they want to be a sports person. And I say, oh, great. Okay, cool. What sport are you going to do? And they say, Oh, look, I haven't decided. I think I'll win a few races first, and then I might start to train, and then I might get a coach. Success is backwards. You have to become that person first. So that's that beautiful intersection between your brain and neuroscience and quantum physics and the power of the imagination, which is beyond belief.
You know, that's really powerful, right? And I would like it if you don't mind touching a bit on that, the neuroscience, which I actually have read a few books on it and stuff because I'm so fascinated with it. And but I want if you can to kind of tell us the differences between the neuroscience, the real neuroscience, as opposed to affirmations. Mm-hmm. Right? Or the law of attraction type of thing, right? Can you kind of dispel that a little bit for us?
Yeah, look, that's such a great question. And so many people ask me that because there has been a personal development culture that's grown up. And as with anything, we keep making advances, but manifestation, there's part of it that looks a lot like wishing and hoping. Mm-hmm. And I say, look, you can sit on the same couch you've been sitting on for the last 10 mm-hmm. years and wish for a Ferrari, and it's never going to happen.
No, girl. I've been wishing for billions of dollars. It didn't come yet.
Yeah. You know, and it's so interesting. Even if you look at, I mean, a lot of people dream about winning the lottery, which, can be a very useful thing. There's this really cool statistics on people who have won the lottery, have done a version of feeling forwards where they've already lined up a lawyer and a financial advisor before they won the money.
Look at that. That's smart.
So neuroscience manifestation versus wishing and hoping sitting on the couch manifestation is all about firstly taking massive action and secondly behaving as though you've already got it. Before you have and taking all that action, not just daydreaming.
Mm-hmm. That's really powerful. So, okay. So as you're talking, I'm thinking, okay, so if somebody's listening right now, right. And say they want to be a 7-figure business. So they're a 5-figure right now, whatever, they want to be a 7-figure business and they want to know, how do I then become that person? Say if there's no resources for that right now, right? Or financial resources, or there's, give me an example of how they would take what you're saying and start implementing, right? So that they can say, okay, Elizabeth said that this is the step I have to do, but how do I do that? How do I get there?
The 6 to 7 figure or 5 figure to six, actually the 6 to 7 figures is really, really key. 5 figures to 6 figures is a little easier because generally when you move from 5 to 6 figures, it's because you have streamlined your operations. It's because you've got a bigger team. You can, as a group, work a little harder and reach that level. Right. From 6 to 7 figures, one of the biggest stumbling blocks is understanding that what got you here won't get you there. Right. And what breaks my heart is mm-hmm. entrepreneurs who think if they just work that little bit harder, because as you said so beautifully earlier, it's like they're not working hard already. Right. If they just work that little bit harder, but in the same way, they'll get there, and it just doesn't happen. So when I'm coaching from moving from 6 to 7 figures, which is one of my key areas of speciality, it's about unpacking what you're doing that is the most effective, but then becoming that person. The person who has a 7-figure business, once again, has a very different behaviors, attributes, lifestyle, and team from someone who's doing 6 figures.
Right.
And it's not about the resources to build a team. That's not the case at all. It's about changing how you approach it. To give a very give another accessible example, I had the privilege, I love coming to the States to work. I do a lot of TV work and other work in the States, but I was at a beautiful lunch in Santa Barbara, and someone I was sitting next to, who was a very successful business person, asked me to explain quantum science and feeling forwards. And I love giving simple explanations. So I said to him, okay, well, let's take your business. Do you have a 5-year plan? He looked at me like I had two heads and looked slightly offended. Said, of course I have a 5-year plan. And I said, okay, what's on your 5-year plan? And he told me a few things. And I said, okay, so how much of your 5-year plan could you do next week? And he looked at me and he said, oh, probably about half of it. I said, so why aren't you? We get stuck in this really linear
so good
to-do list which quite frankly, when I'm helping someone build their business to six figures, we look at seven figures, we look at three key elements. What's your aim? What is your inner justification? And what are your behaviors and attributes? Because you can draw a to-do list with goals and subtasks and outcomes. You can do that for as long as you like. It's not going to get you to seven figures.
That is so powerful, right? Because a lot of people who listen to the show are like, you know, entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. I know they're living in that six-figure space, right? Mm. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody put it that way, but that's absolutely true. And most of us who are in the five, six figures going into seven or trying to go into seven, you're right. It's all about, do we work longer hours? Do we work harder hours? Do we add more systems, right? Making things more complicated. But you're saying you're going to have to like really look at what your plan is and how you can execute some plans and think differently, right? Because a seven-figure earner just thinks differently, right? So
well, they behave differently.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you mean by behave differently? Give me an example.
Okay, so if we're looking at moving from six to seven figures, the first thing is before your behaviors, everyone thinks it starts with habits. I mean, my beautiful clients, private clients come to me and say, okay, all I need is a great business strategy and to get rid of these three bad habits. And it's like, well, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because firstly, habits are a symptom. They're not a cause. Your habits are a symptom of your beliefs. So why do you actually want that seven-figure business? Can you even remember why you started your six-figure business? Do you still like it? What's driving you forward? Who's going to miss out on? Who's going to miss out if you don't get to that seven-figure level? Yes, you've got, you can't benefit your friends and family in a way that you would like to, and yourself. We'll get back to that. But who in the world is going to suffer because you can't continue to make the most beautiful contribution you're planning? A lot of the female founders I work with, established female founders, have a real a mission-driven purpose, but they get exhausted and overwhelmed and then lose heart. But it's like, okay, well, remember why you started this. What is it going to mean to you to get to the next level? And if you don't, who is going to miss out? And then that inner belief that helped your loved one survive cancer. I mean, three different kinds, that would be just too brutal. But what is that inner justification that's going to get you there? Because otherwise it won't last.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. You know, I'm like thinking as you're talking about also pivots and shifts, right? Because sometimes we get stuck in this is my baby and we get stuck there, you know, like instead of shifting or looking at the business as a business, as opposed to you being the business, like you're so invested that you don't take coaching, you don't, you know, grow, or you don't, and then you're upset about it, right? Do you ever find that with any of the founders that you work with?
Yes. And I think it's a tendency for all of us. I worked on that early in this part of my career, in as much that I'm at the stage where if you don't like what I write, if you don't like what I say, that's absolutely fine because that's not me. Mm-hmm. That's what I write and what I say. So you have to distance yourself from your product. With particularly with established female founders, that becomes it is like your baby. I mean, every time I write a new book, I do have that moment where I feel like I'm dumping my baby in the forest and walking away and say, okay, well, it's up to you now, you know, and then hope that someone likes it. But it's very hard for established founders to remember what the project or product or service means to them. They become overly invested in making this thing work that it becomes a little bit all-consuming, and not in a great way. It becomes a little bit more like Gollum in the ring rather than being able to step back and access your creative brain, not your overworked, overwhelmed fear brain, and say, okay, well, look, I started with this in mind. This has happened. Doesn't quite look how I thought I would. Where's the opportunity? I love this, once again, real life story of how super glue and the post-it note were invented. And they were both invented through an attempt to make the opposite. The post-it note was supposed to be super glue. The super glue was supposed to be an
adhesive. I didn't know that. That's so funny.
And I'd say to my entrepreneurship class, I say, okay, these people were probably scientists employed by a company, but they were entrepreneurs because they didn't just throw it in the bin. Imagine you tried to invent super glue, you invented something and hardly stuck at all. You could blame yourself for being a failure, imposter syndrome, all of those things. Or you could say, where's the opportunity? What can we do with this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a chef by trade, right? So it just makes me think of the story of cookies because that's exactly what happened. They forgot to put the leavener in cakes and then it became like a crisp thin thing, which became a cookie, you know? And because if you think about it, like it's the same exact ingredients. It just doesn't have as much leavener as a cake would. And I'm like, well, that was a great invention for me. I love me some cookies. So, so funny. So here's the thing that I've been hearing a lot about is burnout, right? Mm-hmm. Burnout has been something that I'm sure you too, because this is, you know, where you work, right? Like what you're around. And so a lot of these high achievers are really experiencing this burnout. And I'm wondering what strategies you recommend for them to start sustaining their energy, right? To really focus without sacrificing their well-being. Because I know for me, I've sacrificed my well-being trying to be the best, right? So what would you give these people who are listening who are really high achieving and just are feeling really exhausted?
Well, it actually comes back to your good old brain. And just very without wanting to complicate things, we have 70% of our brain is designed to keep you safe. So it's a fear-based brain. And then 30% of your brain is creativity and higher function and, you know, everything that poetry and music and plays and everything comes from. And what a lot of people don't know is that when you get very stressed, because cortisol can damage brain tissue, the 30% of your brain gets shut down.
Wow.
So you cannot think creatively while you're in stress.
Mm.
And another thing is a lot of the blood goes from your brain and goes to your arms and legs, because when you're very, very stressed, your brain is still pretty prehistoric. That part of it thinks, well, I might need to run away from this threat. So don't need all the blood in my brain to think. I just need it everywhere else to make sure and in my heart so I can run really fast. Yeah. So if you are in a state of stress, you're not capable of thinking creatively around a problem or thinking what other resources can I access. You're really, really stuck. But there is a solution. There is a magic pill.
Mm.
And that is when you're stressed, it can only just a little bit of stress will do it. It's like a cup. I say to my clients, if I offered you a coffee, I love my coffee. If I offered you a cup of coffee and then I just put one drop of arsenic in it, would you still drink it? I go, no, but don't be ridiculous. You've just put a drop of arsenic in there. And I said, yeah, but there is what 15 other thousand drops of coffee in there.
Right.
It's just one drop of arsenic. Well, that's what a little bit of stress does. Wow. There's no such thing as a little bit of stress. But the brain is designed to be a magical thing. So the neutral, if you ever drive a stick shift, you know, you put the car in neutral before you change gears, or is gratitude. If you can feel grateful for the tiniest thing, I'm not talking about going into full-blown happy. I'm talking about just be grateful that you're wearing shoes that you quite like today. That tiny bit of gratitude releases 1,200 positive chemicals in your brain.
Wow.
It's amazing. Gratitude is not in the same category as wishing and hoping. It's actually a powerful neuroscience tool. So once you can feel a little bit of gratitude, then you can think of something else you're grateful for, and slowly then you access that creative, high-functioning part of your brain. That's so you can start to think clearly, because when you're overwhelmed and burnout, your brain, the best part of your brain's just not working.
Yeah, it isn't. And you start to then go down the roller coaster of that, because you're just like, oh, you're overwhelmed now. Now you're stressed. Now there's anxiety. Now you're not feeling well. All of these things happen. And I never heard it put that it's like putting a drop of arsenic in your cup of coffee. I just never heard of that, because that makes sense, right? Because you wouldn't drink that. So why do that to your brain? That's very, very interesting. I didn't know that. And as far as gratitude, I believe you, because that has changed and shifted my entire life, right? I used to suffer with depression, anxiety, all of those things because of all of the trauma in my life. And then as I started to say, I'm not getting out of bed until I find three things I am grateful for. I started that many years ago, and it shifted everything in my life, everything. And so I believe that. I believe that it will change your mind, which will change your actions, which will change the outcome, right? And so that's super powerful. And I wish that most of us would pause to do that. And so are you saying, like, in the midst of that stress environment or that episode of burnout or whatever, you just pause for a second and just find one thing you're grateful for?
Yes. Different questions work for different people. Mm-hmm. I really love saying, I think I'm a naturally, I've kind of hardwired myself in a few directions, and gratitude is one of them, because mm-hmm. that just comes up for me every hour. And plus, I mean, after going through everything
I was going to say, I can understand. Right.
But I do love the question, where's the opportunity? So, you know, even if you have, and Nina, you're very, very successful businesswoman, entrepreneur, and thought leader. We all have bad days. We all have days where we have a lack of confidence. We've all got random members of our family that drive us to distraction. There's no perfect life.
Drive us to distraction. That's a good way to put it. I'm going to steal that one.
Yeah, go for it. So for me, it's, where's the opportunity? Okay, I'm stuck in traffic. A meeting's been canceled that I was really looking forward to. A deal has fallen through. I mean, February 2020, because we had a big program with Zuckerberg Institute. I was one of the founding members and a coach there. That was one of the three businesses I was involved with that I lost in 1 week in February 2020. Wow. So it's like, where's the opportunity? Where's the opportunity? Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. always an opportunity.
There's always an opportunity. You know, that's interesting. I remember a few years ago, I had a woman who wanted to be a client of mine, right? And I had I have my master's certification in neuro-linguistic programming, right? So it's not all about neuroscience, but it is a lot of it, right? Like shifting your mind and, you know, reframing and all that great stuff. But anyway, she was telling me about how her daughter had passed away 5 years before, and she was very angry at the world and angry at everything. And I don't blame her, because I would be too. But she was she came to me because she was in an area where she felt just stuck. I mean, just stuck. Like, she wasn't going anywhere, doing anything, having no life. And she was even afraid to laugh, because laughter would be a betrayal to the loss of her daughter, right? So it was going mm-hmm. through all of that. So we were going through the whole session and everything. And I said to her, what is one grateful outcome of this? And she was so livid, Elizabeth. She cursed me out, and how dare you, and blah, 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 and da, 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 and I don't want to speak to you, and hung up the Zoom call and left, right? And I was like, it's okay. She has the right to be angry, and I'm totally okay with that. So a few mm-hmm. weeks later, she gets back to me, and she's like, we need to talk. And I'm like, uh-oh, she's going to curse me out again. She's still mad, right? So I get on the call, and she said, that damn question of yours kept ringing in my head for the last few mm-hmm. weeks, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And I realized I kept my daughter stuck in this perpetual loop of losing her, as opposed to how magnificent she was. You know? And she said, that actually shifted for me. I wake up now with gratitude that I had her in my life. And now she started, I haven't spoken to her in a couple of years, but she started talking at high schools about drunk driving.
Oh,
and, you know, goodness. And shifting. And I said, you know what, Elizabeth, you're absolutely right, because there's always an opportunity, because life is not guaranteed, as you well know, right? And to have another day is such a grateful thing, because you have another day, and you were able to be here for your child when they were going through hard times, here for birthdays, here for celebrations, you know, and here for the hard times. Right. And so mm-hmm. I'm grateful for this conversation. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for what you do in the world. And so thank you for that. And thank you for helping these women, these founders, shift from that six figure to where they want to go. Because sometimes, you know, this is what happens, and I'm sure you hear this a lot. You don't know who to trust, Elizabeth. You don't know who to trust, right? That's why I get pros like you on the show, because I've had so many amazing listeners work with people they've heard on the show. And it's because they trust me, right? They trust who comes on, and I get to know you. And now they get to know you. They know you've been there, done that, wrote a book about it. right? And now are helping others. And so I want to know how people can work with you. What does that look like to work with you and how they can work with you?
Oh, I'd love to share. And thank you. I mean, this is such a generous interview, Nina. I mean, I did actually know about your chef background. I was doing a little bit of digging and it just made so much sense to me, because people who love to work with food also love to give and they love to share. Mm-hmm. And they also intrinsically understand you so much more than me, but there's always a secret sauce. You know, someone says, you know, That's just so delicious. That's the most delicious X I've ever tasted. And it's always a combination of so many things, including who actually made the dish. So please reach out to me. I'm most most prolific on LinkedIn and Instagram. My website is elizabethgould.com. You can email me there. And we can just catch up for a chat and see where you're up to, see if it's a good fit for us to work together. I offer a 90-day program, which is very intense. It's designed to shake you up. It's designed to make massive change very accessible. I'm not into 5, 10% tweaking. There are lots of other great books and great people you can go to for that. But if you really want to reach the next level, you have to change a few things. So that's where my area of expertise lies.
Oh, you ain't playing games, Elizabeth. 90 days. Let's go. These women better know what they're doing. That's amazing. I love that, right? Because you know that you're working with six-figure coaches or service leaders or, you know, entrepreneurs. And so you know that they are already at a place where they know that it takes work to get to where they are now, and it takes work to get to where they want to be. So I really, you got a great niche, great insight, amazing story. And I love you. And I'm glad you came on my show. I'm a big fan, Elizabeth. I'm a fan. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm a huge fan back. We'll have to collaborate on something. Watch this space.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait. Well, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me and Elizabeth. I mean, when I started the show, I tell you that I look for the best humans. This is definitely a best human. I just love her so much. Okay. I'm going to make sure to link all of her information below, because when somebody's coming on, and I tell you this all the time, when they're an expert and they do things that are going to shift your life for real, you need to pay attention and you need to work with people like this, right? People who are actually here, who have been there, done that, and are showing you how to get to that next level. Why keep waiting, thinking about it? I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Get over yourself and make the call. I'm going to put that stuff below for you, okay? Thank you for being here with us, and make sure you share the episode with anyone you think is ready to go to that next level. I love you guys. Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.